All right, good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly a privilege to be able to share. We are excited about what God is doing as we really come with another broadcast for primarily the Brethren over in Kenya, but it is for everyone, really. And for those who are listening otherwise, we give you God praise for you, and we pray that you may grasp what it is we're trying to share. Because in 4 days, ladies and gentlemen, in 4 days, we'll celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit on the early church. As promised, Jesus accompanied the believers with signs following. That is how it was. It's recorded that way in the book of Acts. Now, today, most of the church is loaded with requests that she is powerless to perform. And yet, that is the very reason why we were given the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that God desires for the church to accomplish. So what is wrong? Well, a study of the promises given by Jesus leads me to conclude that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a requirement to consistently walk in power. Now, folks, this is very, very important. It is critical. If you've been in the church longer than 5 years, you've been associated with the Church of God for longer than 5 years, you need to stay close, pay close attention to the information. By the way, this is a two-part series. I'd like for us to drill down and to get to the bottom of it, because I'm saying to you, the church is loaded with requests that she's powerless to perform. Did God call us and give us a task that we can't handle? I don't think so. Did he expect us to get the job done? Yes. You remember he said to the disciples when they couldn't cast out the demon that the gentleman brought to the master. And he says, I brought him to your disciples and they could not do anything. But if you can do anything, notice the way he phrased it. But if you can do anything, and he's asking for help. Well, Jesus turned it right back around. It's not a matter of if he can do anything. He can do all things. It was a matter of him learning to apply his faith. And of course, he quickly, repented and he asked, Lord, help my unbelief, in which case God answered his prayers and the boy was delivered. But I want you to notice now the pattern, because it is still the same today. Folks are blaming the church. They're blaming God. They don't use that phrase, but when you listen to what they're saying, they act as if God is holding out. No, he's not. So what is the fullness of the Spirit? Because the early church, as it is recorded in the book of Acts, it's elsewhere, but in the early church shows you the pattern of how it should be. So what is the fullness of the Spirit, or the baptism of the Spirit? Let's drill down a little further. Because the early church, as I said before, were filled with the Spirit. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, it says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody. No, not just us, the apostles, everybody. Well, is that the case today? It is clear that's not the case. Most people don't even know that they need to be filled. And there are folks who have been filled at one point and still think they are filled when they're not. That's what happened to the disciples. They were in chapter 10 of the book of Matthew, going around casting out demons, raising the dead. And then here it is, a man brought a boy with some sickness, disease, demon possessed, and they couldn't handle it. What happened? No, they had yesterday's anointing, and that is the problem we have in the church today. Too many people are using last week's anointing to try to accomplish today's mission. It won't work. It never has. It never will. His mercies are new every day. So I am saying to you, as we approach Pentecost, this is a fine time or appropriate time, but because it's always time. But I would encourage us to drill down a little further. You can always go further with God. You can always be filled more with the Spirit. It is important that we understand this. Don't assume that because you got baptized some years ago that that is still the case. No. You got the token of the Spirit in, and you need to grow. You need to be continually filled. And we'll see that as we drill down a little further. But what I am saying to you is that the early church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, as we read there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, we see something similar. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, listen to me. Let me tell you something. You're kidding yourself if you're assuming that you are always filled. That's not the case. No, you used up that anointing. You need to get some more. How do you get it? You go back to the Lord. That's how it works. Let's look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Because I am telling you, the church is being bombarded with request after request. And what we find is that the church can't fulfill its mission. Why? It's not because God is holding out on us. It's because we are not where we're supposed to be. Acts chapter 6 verse 3 says, "When wherefore, brethren, look you about among you, seven men of the honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." They were going to choose some, what we now refer to as deacons, people to help out in the church. Going to set them apart for that goal. And they want people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 says, "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." Now, my point here is, ladies and gentlemen, these are the type of people we need to have in the church today doing the work of God, not people who think they were filled some time ago and think that that's going to cut it. No, it will not. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55 says, "But he," speaking of Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand." What was he? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Folks, listen. The title of this message is to be filled with the Spirit. I want us to get it clear. I could go on and on and on. Acts chapter 9, 17, chapter 11, 24, Acts chapter 13, and verses 9, and also 52, 5 and 50, 15, 14, verse 9, and it goes on. This is the record of the early church. Do you see that happening around you? Is that happening in your life? If not, why not? Because that is I said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you and I now need to be careful that we are not being lukewarm. We're sitting on the fence, so to speak, not measuring up. Now, a lot of folks somehow cannot make a distinction between how things were before Jesus came and going to the cross. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29, most people read over this, but I would like for us to look at it again. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Folks, I want you to be one of those filled with the Spirit. That's why I'm talking like this. So he says, God is lamenting, and he said, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children." He was lamenting. Why? They couldn't do it. Why? They didn't have access to the Holy Spirit. God knew that was the case, but he has a plan that is operating. That plan is still in operation today. And so what I am trying to convey to you is that they couldn't do it. No, we're not like them. We have access that they didn't have. And therefore, now we have a greater responsibility to get up there now and get serious about pressing in so that the power comes up on us. Now in John, the 7th chapter, verse 37 says, "The last day of the feast, Jesus got up and started to speak. He cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Notice the way he said, just drink if you're thirsty. You know the feeling. He that believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Rivers of living water. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? No, you don't want to have a trickle. You don't want to be dry. No, you want a river of living water, means that it is flowing all the time. And verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, question, has Jesus been glorified? Yes. How? No. By the cross, yes. And ever since then, you know, their Pentecost, he has been, you know, making the Spirit available to us. And so my point here is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to stop putting ourselves and comparing ourselves with the children of Israel. They were, for the most part, blind. Yes, compared to the world, they were enlightened. But and from the overall scope of things, no, they were spiritually blind. They did not have access to the Spirit, but you and I have access today, or the potential, and that is why I'm saying to you, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Let's read on a little more. Because I'm saying to you, the Spirit is available today. So when we are admonished in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 18, where he tells us, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The term here, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with drinking wine, that is excess. And so you get drunk. And you notice on the day of Pentecost, they were saying these people were drunk because they appear to have been operating abnormally. Of course, they were doing what is right. Is the other folks who were out of sync. They just never seen it like that. And so he says, don't be drunk with wine. That's excess. You're taking too much. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm saying to you, the expression here, be filled with the Spirit, meaning that you need to be continually filled. That's why I'm saying those who have been in the church for quite some time need to get it clear in their mind that they need to be continually filled. I'm saying to you plainly, listen, last week anointing is not good enough for today. Did God do something? You know, you talk to some folks and they talk about what God did so many years ago, 20, 30 years ago. Listen to me, folks. What did he do last week? Are you telling me God has been asleep all that time? He just left you up to yourself? No, it is you who are out of touch. You need to get back into the prayer closet, get, drill down and start to push, press through and knock and seek, because you need more anointing. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, because some folks have the idea that, well, I had my baptism, the physical baptism that they're speaking of. You know, we repented, we were baptized, and we had hand laid on us for the impartation. And then they believe, well, I have arrived. I am saying to you folks, you are deceiving yourself if that is your viewpoint. That was the beginning stages. You're like a baby that just got home from the hospital, just delivered a few days ago. Why did you fully stop the fridge and just go off and leave them? No, they're going to have to grow. They're going to have to develop. And so do you. So when you have that token anointing that you had from baptism, that is something to be embarrassed about. You're supposed to be moving along. You know, there were some elsewhere Paul was saying, by now you should be teachers. You have need that somebody teach you the elementary things again. I am saying to you, the church, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, is spiritually asleep. What they have is a token anointing, and that's why there is no power. And they're not going to be any until they get serious about it. If you're consistently having challenges, it is one because the enemy see your potential in you, therefore that gives you more impetus. Now let's run to the Lord. But in addition, you need to start seeing some victory. That's why we sing the song, Victory in Jesus. So in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, I'm just going to break into the story flow. Verse 4 says, chapter 4 rather, and verse 6. It says, Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I am saying to you, everything that you and I do for the Lord must be done by the Spirit. Now, things that you can do on your own, you know, he leave you alone with that. But the point is this, he wants you to press through and go to higher heights, higher levels, or they would say, you know, deeper depths. And so you then need to be pressing through. And he will give his spirit to those who ask. Look at it in Luke, the 11th chapter and verse 13. Because Jesus was making a comparison. He says, if your child asks you, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts. In other words, here it is. He asks for an egg and you give him a snake. No. In other words, you're going to do right. Well, he's saying, now, God is going to do right too. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who that ask him? See, did you hear what I just said? For those who ask, are you asking him? Are you asking him to fill you more every day? Are you asking him to help you now to get hold of what he's trying to share and what your mission is so you can fulfill it? You want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, don't you? Well then, you need to be pressing through. You need to press through. And I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not going to be drunk with wine, but we are going to be filled with the Spirit. That is our goal. That is what I am encouraging you to do. Now, all that we receive from God, we do so by faith. Yes, including more of the Spirit. It is the nature of God to make promises. We read and we sing a song, really stand on the promises. Yes, we're receiving the we're seeing these promises. But wherever we exercise faith, then God delivers on the promise. See, that's it. When folks are complaining and saying it doesn't work, it's because they're not operating in faith. Oh, yes, they think they do. I remember one gentleman tried to argue with me, tried to tell me, well, you can be filled with faith. And no, who told you that? There's no such thing in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible it says God is holding out on anybody. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. None. And so what I am saying then is that you and I need to be pressing through. God is willing to deliver. He promised. In John the 16th chapter, let's turn to it. Because, I mean, it's all over the scriptures when you stop and think about it. John the 16th chapter and verse 7. Let's see, did I go to the right chapter? Yes. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, Jesus is making that promise. He gave it to the disciples, and by extension, he comes to us. And he's saying several things here. You learn from that one verse right there. It is better for him to go. Now look at what he was doing when he was on earth. And you're telling me it is better for him to go? Yes, it is. Because that way now we can do the same thing that he was doing. And even more. Not better in quality. No, you can't supersede it. Because it is he who's doing it. But the point is that we can do more. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that he's telling us that He's going to go and then he send the Spirit, which we know came starting on the day of Pentecost, and it is available to us today, ladies and gentlemen. And so the point here is that we need to understand that we have all these promises available to us. Now let's press through in the book of Mark, chapter 1. Let's pick up some more fundamentals, because what we find is that folks have the overview, but the details, they don't. Consequently, they are going awry. Mark chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle, and a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Folks, listen, this Pentecost, don't let it slip by. We need to be doing this on a regular basis, not just on Pentecost. Yes, it is the anniversary. That's true. That's good. Praise God for that. But you need to be pressing through. You listen, has your shadow ever healed anybody? Jesus is no respecter of person. You know, he did that with Peter. Well, how then? Listen, we need to press through, ladies and gentlemen. And I am saying to you, we need to make sure we position ourselves so God can use us. He's telling us, he's going to baptize us here with the Holy Ghost. He's more than willing. Now, if you assume that you got it already, well, you are really going to be ignorant by yourself. But the point is that that is not the case. And therefore, I am encouraging you to press through. In John chapter 3, verse 16 says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptized you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Holy Ghost and with fire. Still drill down a little. He's going to pour out the Holy Spirit on you. What is the fire? A lot of folks don't understand cleansing fire. No, you're not going to be burned up in hell. That's not what he's talking about. I've heard folks say stuff like that in Spokesman Club. They're wrong. They don't get it. They didn't get it. The fire there is the burning desire that God has in you, he placed in you, for you to grasp more information so that you really burn out the chaff, so to speak. You're going to fill up yourself with the real thing. That's what that means. You know, just like you use fire to purge certain things, get rid of the impurities, same thing. That's what he's trying to say. And so the point here is that God is going to do this, and it is available to us. And I'm encouraging you, ladies and gentlemen, for us to press through. Don't assume that you have. As a matter of fact, you can never have too much. You need to press through to receive more. In Matthew, the third chapter, the same thing is repeated. I did baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, John is speaking. Whose shoes I'm not able to, unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. My point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that, I won't talk about the fire again, but you get the idea. The point is this, he just wants you to be filled up, burn out the chaff. That's it. And so the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to be pressing through. Now, I am saying to you, that is not the case in the church today. All you have to do is look around. You don't, do your own research, you begin to see. And I am encouraging you, don't be complacent. Get serious about this. You say, I've been serious. Praise God for that. Go a little further. You can always do more. In the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, and in verse 22. This man was above 40 years old, who received a miracle of healing. You know, the apostles come and they let's read it. Peter looked upon this man and said unto him, or not really, this is when he was going to the thing there, but the point here is that this man had got healed. And so in verse 14, here it is. Now they're going to send them back to the they're going to release them from jail, so to speak. And they were imprisoned because of this man's healing. Now, so he says, Paul is saying in verse, or not Paul, but Peter is saying, we cannot speak, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is what you're going to be talking about. Forget the game, forget the score, the latest politics and stuff like that. Talk about the things of God. This is what they were doing. And verse 21 says, so when they had further threatened them, that's the leaders now threatened them, they let them go, finding not how they might punish them, because the people saw this miracle that was acted out, was performed on that man. And so being let go, they went to their group, or you might say to the church group, and they report everything that happened, and then they prayed. You can read that in your own time. My point here, ladies and gentlemen, is this is an example of the Spirit moving. The same thing, or such a similar thing, because it's not the same event, operating in Acts chapter 8. And in verse 13, Simon himself, a sorcerer, when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done by Philip. And so the point here is that people were there coming through and begin, you know, receiving from what had happened, because the word had got to Samaria. Philip went down there and preached Christ to them. It's the same thing you and I are supposed to be doing today, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be doing the same thing. And so I want to encourage you. I cannot say this enough. I want to encourage you to press through. Now I have a whole lot more I want to share. But for those who are joining us on Pentecost, we'll be talking more about this. But I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we all need to be filled with the Spirit. Every one of us, myself included. We'll talk more about how you can actually get this done and what the methods that is outlined in the Bible. But for you and I, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be cognizant of the fact that God has made this power available to us. Yes, Israel couldn't do it. We saw what happened to those who are not following the lead of the Spirit, and yet they get some light. That is the nation of Israel and Judah. That is it. There are a lot of people like that today also. They're just like those folks. They're operating though without the Spirit. You don't want to be in that category. You want to walk in power. That's what God expects you to do. That's what He desires of us. And so I want to encourage you one more time to press through. And you have questions? Yes, be prepared. Send me some questions if you'd like. Text me or call me, however you get in touch with me. I'll be willing to answer them. Because I would like to see, this is what's burning on my heart. I want to see every one of the people in the church filled with the Spirit, just like it was in the book of Acts. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's your number one assignment, to be filled. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I don't think we get enough information along this line. We need to get a little more along that line. So we're going to try to give you some more the next time around. But you get the idea. I want us to press through. Ask, seek, knock. Do not stop. You see, I don't get any answer after the first 5 minutes of prayer or the first 5 days. Press through. Don't stop. Continue. God is right there. He's observing. And He will respond accordingly. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you in the next lesson.